At the same time, the proverb taken up over you and the wailing and lamentation over you goes like this. Robbed of our lot, yes, robbed are we. My people have been smattered and my ground set free. To heathens has he given what was meant to be. The boundary of my people is removed from me. That is verse 4 from Micah chapter 2 in the version of Yours Truly, 2003. That's our daily scripture for today, little ones, little children. Now, we're on a slightly later schedule tonight. But there's no real urgency, it feels like, as we resume, we are resuming now the study of Joseph and Own, the article. It's the article that comes after Joseph, so there's one article called Joseph and then the article Joseph and Own immediately followed the article Joseph, both articles authored primarily by Yours Truly. In fact, I was the sole author apart from the other credits I gave for the people with whom I had communication during that time. Now, in the Joseph and Own article, what did I say? Well, this is a one-part article, too, as is Joseph. There's no part one, part two. It's just one single part for both the articles. So who did I say? I don't credit anyone here, do I? Except maybe, no, I don't credit any other author here. So today's study is beginning at the table, summarizing the things we've been talking about with regard to the mirror dates, 1954 and 1923, 1493, and also the other mirror date for 1452, which we haven't discussed. But in 1954 BCE, Joseph was born when his father Jacob was 91 years old. So we could, you know, add 91 to that, we're going to get 20, or perhaps, of course, it could have been in his 91st year also, but we can add 90 to that 54, we get 1954 plus 91 is 2045, right? So the birth of Jacob is in 2045. And then, according to the Septuagint and also the Masoretic text for that matter, we get 60 years for the age of Isaac when he had his son Jacob. So add 60 to 2045, we get 2105, and then we add 100 years and some months to get to 2206, because Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac was born. So adding 2105 plus 100 is 2205. 2206, we've added some, allowed for extra months. And the birth of Jacob, we sometimes give us 2044 also. But 2206 for the birth of Abraham is our chronological, genealogical date for those events, according to, in the case of these particular patriarchs, both the Masoretic text and the Greek Septuagint, which both agree on these things. Now, the other date in the Common Era, 1954, Roger Bannister broke the 4-minute mile on May 6th of that year. And in 1923, April 18th, Joseph stood before Pharaoh and was appointed, as we talked about, as the ruler of Egypt in place of and second to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh gave Joseph his second best chariot. All of that April 18th, 1923. That's how we date it. And then when we look at the modern day, the Common Era, 1923, April 18th, this would be the Gregorian calendar now, of course, in the modern day. And so April 18th is not the same as in the Julian calendar if we carried the Julian calendar all the way forward. But we've considered the appropriate calendar for the different time period. So the Julian calendar is used in the BCE time period. And in the Common Era, we use the Gregorian if it's after 1752. That's the correct official year when it switched over. But many countries, you should also be aware, didn't change over to the Gregorian calendar at the time when it was instituted by Pope Gregory. Some may still not have switched over, for that matter, but there are some that didn't switch over till much later, you know, hundreds or more than 100 years later, for example. But let's say the Yankee Stadium, April 18th date, 1923 of the Common Era, it opened its doors that same day, Yankee Stadium, and Ruth, Babe Ruth, that is, hit his first home run in the new stadium on that same day, April 18th, 1923, of the Common Era. And Cyrus E. Woods, the U.S. ambassador, left Spain on that day also, in the year 1923 of the Common Era. Now, 1923, April 19th, Joseph ruled Egypt, his first official day after his appointing on the previous day, his appointment by the Pharaoh having occurred on the 18th of that year, 1923 BCE. And in the Common Era, 1923, April 19th, was Egypt's first official modern constitution. That's just remarkable. The first, actually, it's their first ever constitution. And let's mention 1923 of the Common Era, the copyright change that was made. It was a change made and was instigated by Sonny Bono, I believe, in part, and it was applying to all copyrights for works created in 1923 and later. So 1923 was the time of this. It was an extension of the copyright which extended 95 years after that date of 1923 for all works created in 1923 or later. It was a longer copyright from that point of 1923. And that was instituted, that law, I think in 1998 or something, but it extended all the copyrights to 2019, January 1st. 95 years from 1923. So 1493, our Exodus date also, is in the mirror of 1493 of the Common Era, the first Spanish colony in the New World. And 1452, there's a lot of stuff there. We probably, let's not talk about that today because there's a lot of stuff there to talk about. It's too much. We haven't covered it yet. So I've reviewed it. I've definitely prepared it, but I know that if I go down that path, we won't have time to do the other things we need to do today. Maybe if we have time at the end, we'll come back to it. So let's zoom in again so we can read text at a more readable size. Well, look at this picture at the end of the, after the table there. I'll tell you about this picture that was a glass plate photograph of Roger Bannister. They used to take photographs on glass plate at some point. And we see Roger Bannister crossing the finish line in his record setting 4-minute mile run at this time that he was. See if we can do this. Can I scroll? Yeah, I can do that. Maybe I can get it more centered there. So Roger Bannister is crossing the finish line. He's wearing number 41. And he has got, that's remarkable, because in the table, we're talking about, of course, the year 1452, which is 41 years after a 1493 date of the Exodus. So the Israelites wandered for 40 years and some months in the wilderness, and they crossed the Jordan River in 1452, 41 years in the Julian calendar later, 41 years later. So, I mean, the Julian calendar doesn't differ by as much as one whole year from the Gregorian anyway, in most cases, right? It wouldn't change the year number, but it could. But Bannister, in this photograph, there's actually the plate got broken. This photographic plate got broken, so it's an historic photograph, and the plate got broken, so it's got a big crack running through it from bottom left to top right in a wavy kind of line, a shattered glass plate, but you can still see almost everything in the photograph perfectly clearly. It looks like a cloudy day when he broke the record. And let's read. Pharaoh said of Joseph, quote, "Can another man be found like this one in whom the Spirit of God is?" That's Genesis 41 and 38. He had Joseph ride in his second chariot of honor, and in advance of this chariot it was ordained that, quote, a wreck, end quote, be called out, this indicating Joseph's authority over all the land of Egypt. And we mentioned that word of wreck before also. It's Genesis 41:43. Let's verify. Let's look at one more thing here. Joshua chapter 4. Verse 19. On the 10th day of the first month, the people came up out of the Jordan River. So that was the crossing of the Jordan River. 10th of the first month. So that's important, because it's hard to find that. Hard to find that in the Bible if you don't know where to look. It's Joshua 14. Or 4 and 19, I should say. Joshua 4 and 19. Very important. Because together with this other information, Joshua 3, and we're just going to cover this briefly, Joshua 3 and 2, at the end of 3 days, it was that these things occurred, right? And then prior to that, so that's 3 days, and then Nisan 10. And prior to that, Deuteronomy 34, and 8, the sons of Israel wept for Moses 30 days. So that's how we know that Moses died on Adar 7, according to the calendar. If there were 30 days in the month of Adar, or perhaps even 29 if there's an extra day, it's sometime very close to the seventh day of Adar when Moses died, and there's 30 days, taking us to Nisan 7, and then we have, which is 1 month later, and then the 3 days taking us to Nisan 10. Very useful to know about that, where to find those scriptures if you're trying to determine what day Moses died. That's the thing. So here we have Genesis 41, and 43, a wreck is mentioned, and then we have verse 41:38. Okay. Yeah, 41:38 was where Pharaoh said, "Can another man be found like this one in whom the Spirit of God is?" The Spirit of God was in Joseph, because he had, of course, interpreted using the power that Jehovah gave him. he had interpreted Pharaoh's dream. And consequently, he was given this authority of second in command of all of Egypt. But when we look at that scripture, he was put over all the land of Egypt in verse 43, right? And in verse 41, he said, this is Genesis 41, verse 41. Pharaoh said, "See, I do place you over all the land of Egypt." So Joseph was the highest authority and the highest commander in all the land. So we have, and of course Pharaoh was still the first in command officially, but some have translated the word avrek as make way. In other words, clear the way, here comes somebody important. Or other people translate it as father of Pharaoh. Abba or Av is Hebrew meaning father, while Rek resembles the Hebrew word for a king, Regan. Compare with the English word reign, which is actually just the same letters rearranged. In appointing Joseph ruler of all Egypt, reign is spelled R-E-I-G-N and Regan R-E-G-I-N. But in appointing Joseph ruler of all Egypt in Genesis 41 and 41, Pharaoh said, "See, I do place you over all the land of Egypt," as we just read. Egyptian religion held that Pharaoh was a god, however. So how could Joseph be said to be the, quote, father of Pharaoh, end quote? Can we not test the fact that Joseph ruled Egypt by examining the pantheon of gods in Egypt, Greece, and Rome? Just how much can we learn from the ancient Egyptian mythology about Joseph, the son of Jacob? If it's really true that Joseph was said to be father of Pharaoh, that he was ruling over all of Egypt. But we're going to see how this can be in another way later, I believe, but we're going to examine it, first of all, by... We can't cover everything every day, so we're first of all going to examine the Egyptian mythology and the Greek and Roman mythology. See if there's any proof for this idea that Joseph is the father of Pharaoh. And we also have Cairo on a map here, showing where that is. It's near Giza, which is, of course, the Great Pyramid of Egypt. And north of that would be Memphis in the Nile Delta region here. It's called Lower Egypt because it's lower in elevation as you go north toward the Mediterranean Sea. Joseph, to continue now, is quoted in Genesis 45 and 8 as saying that God had made him, quote, father to Pharaoh, end quote. This is not mythology, but rather the Bible. I think there's another... I'm going to remember some other things as we go along, because I've done some studying of this in the writing of my other articles, and I just don't keep it all in my brain all at the same time. It's not going to be there always, but it will come. It will manifest itself as we read. But this is not mythology, father to Pharaoh. This is from the Bible. It says that at Genesis 45 and 8. The corresponding Egyptian god, who is said to be father to the king, right? There is a god in Egypt who is said to be father of the king. And what was that god's name? Well, it was Atum, or Atum, or Tem, or Temu. And Atum was associated as its chief deity. With the ancient Egyptian city of On, or Heliopolis. Heliopolis, capital of the 13th nome, Lower Egypt, as we said, lower in elevation, is today found geographically within the bounds of the northern suburbs of Cairo. That's Egypt's city, Cairo, the modern capital of Egypt. It was one of the most ancient cities of Lower Egypt, was owned, and it is believed to have been rebuilt during the Middle Kingdom, which, in brackets, is the time of Joseph according to the genealogy, the Middle Kingdom, 12th dynasty. There is today also another suburb of Cairo called Heliopolis. So there's a suburb. Called Heliopolis in Cairo, but there's the ancient city of Heliopolis also. And the city of ancient times is found in the place which is currently in the modern day called in Cairo, Ain Shams, or Ain Shams. It is two words, A-I-N, and then S-H-A-M-S, which is a Cairo suburb. The city of ancient times being found there, as well as in the other district in the northern part of Cairo called Al-Matariya, held to be the place where in Jesus' early days the Virgin Mary rested under the Mary tree while traveling with her husband Joseph to escape from Herod's wrath. It's from the book of Matthew, when they fled into Egypt because Herod was about to murder firstborn sons. Al-Matariya is a name derived, as the story goes, from mother. And the fact that the tree under which Jesus' mother, Mary, rested is located there. So that's a very amazing thing, isn't it? That this ancient city of Ain, where Joseph had authority, or the place from which his wife came, who was the daughter of the priest of Ain. His wife came from that same city, so he was associated with the city of Ain, or Heliopolis in ancient times, and in the modern day, it's in the city of Cairo somewhere, buried under all the other modern layers that came on top. But also, this district in the same place as the ancient city of Ain, there are two different modern districts, but one of those modern districts that are found in that place of the ancient city of Ain is this place where Jesus, our Lord's mother, had rested. And the pyramid and great Sphinx of Giza there is shown, which would be nearby to the city of Cairo. Now, an ancient Egyptian temple was found beneath Cairo's suburb. They found a temple, an ancient temple, as reported by ABC News, February 27, 2006. Ain Shams, as the location of one of the oldest secular universities in Egypt, now that's just oldest, meaning 1950, of the Common Era. It's not ancient. I mean, it's just an old university in our modern times, and serving 180,000 students in 2010, found this university is found, that is, 26 kilometers northeast of the Great Sphinx of Giza, which is, of course, right near the Great Pyramid of Egypt. So Ain Shams is 26 kilometers away from the Great Pyramid or Great Sphinx of Giza. It's not very far away, is it? And this is the place where the ancient city of On was. That's the place where the priest of On would have lived, and where his daughter evidently also lived, so that Joseph he became the Lord of On, as indicated. We're going to find out about that too, but that's just in the names of the Greek gods that we're going to find out these things. Now, this was the place where the ancient temple was discovered in Ain Shams, which is one of the places in the modern city that is overlapping the city of On or Heliopolis, the ancient city of Heliopolis or On. So this ancient temple is dated probably from the time of Ramesses II, in quotes, probably from the time of Ramesses II, end quote, which is in our genealogy, it's 13th century, but it's also the same century in other chronologies too. But that's a quote from ABC News, apparently. But a green schist is the rock typical of the ground of Heliopolis into which the temple had been laid. That's the color of the rock, which is called schist. Ain Shams is quite near to Al-Mataria, or Mataria, both being a part of the city of Heliopolis, or On. In Egyptian, On is rendered Iunu, I-U-N-U. In the Middle Ages, the city was dismantled, meaning the city of Heliopolis, and its stones recycled for the construction of the city of Cairo. Or the city of On, you could say, was dismantled, and its stones were recycled for the construction of the city of Cairo. That was in the Middle Ages, which is sort of like a thousand years after the turn of the Common Era. Throughout the height of Egyptian civilization, is our next paragraph, Osiris was the primary deity. That's a short paragraph. That's from touregypt.net. Now, why is Osiris important? We're going to find out more about it. In the illustration, we have a color drawing of the Egyptian Bennu bird with its glorious crest, in this case looking like a sphere with two horizontal upsweeping feathers, if that's what they be, wedge-shaped, curved, on top of its head. And it's beautifully done in green. All of it is essentially different shades of green. The god Atum, like the Bennu bird, is pictured on the top of the Benben stone. The Bennu bird, at times, being depicted in the sacred willow tree of Osiris. Thus, Osiris is identified quite apart from any wild-eyed speculation with the city of Heliopolis, as was the Bennu, or phoenix bird. Jesus has been called, quote, last Adam, end quote. Compare that with Atum, A-T-U-M. Well, Atum is depicted as having a line along his jaw from his chin to the sideburn in front of his ear. We haven't seen an illustration yet, but we're going to see that down here. No, that's a different god, but he's closely related. Okay. This long sideburn, being typical of Jewish beard styles, that's the key there. Osiris was the god of rebirth, confirming the phoenix bird's well-known story of being reborn out of the ashes. Okay, Osiris is the god of rebirth, confirming the phoenix bird's well-known story of being reborn out of the ashes. You see, so Osiris is associated with the phoenix bird in that way as well. And also the sideburn is a Jewish thing, but the Egyptians did not have long sideburns. They had just the beard on the tip of their chin. Is Joseph Osiris? Is he the phoenix of the ancient Egyptian and Greek mythology? That is the question we ask there. And we see an illustration here of Osiris. He's got green skin, also symbolizing rebirth. But he's got this sideburn that runs down the side of his face and continues onto his beard. So there's the long sideburn, which is a Jewish thing. And it's in the painting of Osiris. And when we see later on in our article here, the god Amun, who is also, along with Osiris, the most widely recorded of the Egyptian gods, he has the sideburn as well, coming down to meet the beard on the side of his face, which is not Egyptian. It's a Jewish thing, Jewish trait. So that's what we're going to be looking at now. That there's a beautiful illustration, or a very detailed illustration of Osiris, which is depicting, oh, we can't even see it in this. We can scroll down maybe. There it is. Yeah, there it is. Okay. Yeah, we've got it. We've got it there. So it's, you know, it's depicting Osiris with a number of other deities and some people. And he's sitting on a throne. He has a shepherd's crook and flail that the shepherd used. So that's important because we know that the sons of Jacob were shepherds, weren't they? Isn't that something also? And the shepherds were loathsome to the Egyptians. It's another point that it's in the Bible talking about that. The Pharaoh did not regard these shepherds as exalted or as decent, even. The Greeks had a god named Pan, who was a god of shepherds, a god who was depicted as part man and part goat. As symbols of Osiris, the shepherd's traditional crook and flail are as clearly illuminating of a Greek Pan by an Egyptian Osiris as one might expect. But there's also a tale of each becoming in the Nile River like a fish. And that's it for today's study. It's February 1st, 2025, of the Common Era. We've reached February. Little children, it's 22:22 hours, Canadian Eastern Time. Look at that time. And I love you very much. I'm Ward Green. Thank you so much for listening and watching. And in my behalf, this is Sissy and this is Star saying bye for now. Only God knows what paragraph number we reached there. I'll try to determine that as accurately as I can, but I don't think I have time to count it up, but maybe I do. We were at like 17, and then there's 18, 19, 20.